Amen. Well, we're in our season of praying for revival. Are we praying for revival? Good. Let's be praying like for revival like never before. Because as we've been singing, Jesus, I need you. Our community needs Jesus. Society needs Jesus. This world needs Jesus. And what the church needs is a revival. The church doesn't need same old, same old. We don't need the same old stuff rehashed week in and week out. We need God to move in power. We need God to move in strength to change this community. 2 weeks ago, I spoke to you about the topic of contagious worship. And remember, I brushed shoulders with people and said, sometimes our atmosphere we carry, the mood we carry, we affect those around us. And when we carry the presence of the Almighty God on the inside of us, we will affect those around us. We are contagious. We are highly contagious. We are infectious. Not with a problem. But we carry the Spirit with us. We think of Peter's shadow in the book of Acts, who touched a person. Wow. Healed a person. Jesus healed the person. Through a shadow. And who we are as God's people is such an important thing. We're more than the sum of who we are when we arrive here on a Sunday. Generally speaking, people are on their best behavior at church. And that's why I say we always preach here into a Monday. Because it's not just about Sunday. It's about how we live this life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's how we live this life when you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't sleep. And there's a burden, there's a worry, there's an issue. There's a problem, there's a sadness. When you wake up and it feels like the bottom of your world has fallen out. What do we do? What do we do? What do? When we wake up and we're worrying? We're worrying about our kids. We're worrying about our finances. We're worrying about everything. And it's 2 a.m. and there's nothing much we can do about it. The doctor's surgery's closed. The bank is closed. The school is closed. The office is closed. But your mind is wide open. And your heart is pulsating with anxiety. What do? And you find yourself perspiring, not because it's a nice hot summer's night, but because of the pain and the anguish and the issues of life that go spinning around, not just your mind, but your heart and your whole body. We can have a song in the night. We can have a song in the night. You see, when we are in relationship with the Almighty God, He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He doesn't say, good night, sleep tight, I'm going to tuck you in and get on by yourself. When the sun rises on the other half of the planet, I've got them to take care of now. And believe you me, there's a lot of work to be done down under there in Australia when all you British are sleeping. Leave me alone now. No, He's never like that. He's never a leave me alone God. We can call on Him. Some folks say to me, the Lord must be so sick and tired of me calling out to Him. The Lord never slumbers nor sleeps. He's never tired of you calling out to His name. Oh, there's so many people with problems bigger than mine, people say to me. No, but your problem in your point in your life is enormous. Don't think you can't take it to the Lord because He cares for you. And He's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Call out to Him in the middle of the night. We live in a world, a country, that I believe is on the precipice of God doing a great work, a great outpouring of revival across this nation. And He starts here. He starts here. Does it start with your neighbor? He doesn't start with the person you think God really needs to really work and fast. You know, we've all got those people. Do you have your hit list? Yeah, you've got your hit list. Lord, work in their life and do it quickly. Lord, save them. Lord, sort them out. Lord, shake them up. The Lord says it's not about them. When we appear before the throne of grace, of judgment one day, we appear alone. Alone before God. This is a grace message. We don't appear with all the people we can't forgive and say, Lord, the reason why I couldn't sing a song in the night because they offended me. And on this side, they hurt me. And behind me, they kicked me and stabbed me. So that's why I haven't served you like I should. And all that around me has hurt me. No, we stand alone without all those people, without all those things. And the Lord will want to know from you, what have you done with his name? Oh, Lord, because so-and-so didn't like my name and didn't like me, I didn't do anything for you. Oh, Lord, because I had a hard time in my life, I spent my life putting myself back together again. Now, he gives us a song in the night, a song in the night. We've looked at a few definitions of revival. I'm not going to go through them all again, just a few. Edwin Orr said this of revival, a movement of the Holy Spirit bringing about New Testament Christianity to the church and its related community. Go read the book of Acts. Go read the New Testament beyond Acts and see what New Christianity was all about. We're going to have a look at that this morning. A song in the night in New Testament Christianity times. Somebody else said, my favorite definition of revival is this, a community saturated with God. Can you see Buckhurst Hill saturated with God, or Woodford, or Epping, or Loughton, or Potter's Bar, wherever you come from, Walthamstow, Waltham Cross, as long as we acknowledge the cross of Christ, wherever you come from, doesn't matter. It's where we're going that matters. Where we're going as a church, that matters. We can come from all over. We're on the central line. You could come from central London. It doesn't matter where you come from. It matters where we go together as God's people. And he calls people from all walks of life, from all spheres of life. I don't believe in a church for the middle class. I don't believe in the church for the upper class. I don't believe in the church for the poor. I believe in the church of Christ because he defines us. He makes us who we are. Not what we have in the bank or don't have in the bank. Not what we have in our family history or heritage. That means nothing. It's not where we come from. It's where we're going. And the Lord is in the business of picking up broken lives and lifting them up and showing those lives off for his power and for his glory and saying, look what I can do with a life that had a song in the night. Look what I can do with a life that had a song in the night. Look what Rhys Bevan-Jones says. Bend the church and save the people. We're not into being churchy. We're not into being religious. If we're being religious, then you've got to sit on the same spot, on the same pew every week. I better stand still behind the pulpit. Because if I step there, God may smite me. If I step there, God may smite me. Now I'm being religious. I'll stand still. It's about relationship. The moment Christianity, our discipleship walk with Jesus, becomes about religion and about things, we've entered into the idolatry of religion, where we're serving a false thing, but it's about relationship. And when you have Christ in you, who's the hope of glory, you cannot be religious because he just bursts forth in every song, in every action, in every conversation. You will be talking Jesus, not because you're religious, but because you're in a relationship. You'll be singing songs in church and you'll be going through a crushing time. And in the crushing, he's making new wine out of you. And you'll raise your hands, not because I'm being religious or I think I'm at a pop concert, but because I'm breaking through and I'm surrendering in Jesus' name. And my body can't just stay still. You know, if I'm going to say I'm going to go on a walk today, I can't stand here and say I'm going on a walk. I'm walking. Now I'm walking. Hello. Yeah, and all my little what steps per day is adding up. Praise the Lord. Are we on 10,000 yet? Okay. So there we go. I'm just helping myself out here. I'm helping your neck do this. If anybody's got neck pain, there we go. It's about the life that Jesus brings. Bend the church. Bend the church. People aren't after a stuffy religious gathering. They need the presence of God. Our worship is about not me, not you, not about the songwriter, not about the song leader. We don't have a song leader. The Holy Spirit leads us. Ooh, the service leader. Who's the service leader? The last time I looked, Jesus is building his church. Sure, we've got our job to play. We've got our part to play. Bend the church. Bend the church. Bend the church. How do we bend? How do we bend? We get on our knees. We bend and say, Jesus, have your way and save the people. Last week, we looked at the definition of revival is the top blowing off. But the top doesn't blow off till the bottom has fallen down. And that's what we see in the life of Hezekiah and in the times of Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 29. And we see that in Scripture, 2 Chronicles 29, 3 to 5, where it says to consecrate yourselves. So the bottom falls out. And consecration means when we're in relationship with the Lord, He cleans up our lives. We come just as we are, but He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And He cleans up our lives. And worship goes on a progression then. I don't know about you, but sometimes I come to church and the Lord's got to deal with something. Maybe I've been hurt. Maybe I'm going through something. Maybe there's pain. Maybe there's suffering. Maybe there's a little attitude that needs adjustment. Anybody ever there, or is it only me? You know, we get to the first song, and what was the first song this morning? Good God, good grace, pure hearts, clean hands. What have my hands done this week? What has been beating in my heart? Guard your heart, the scripture says, for from our hearts flow the issues of life. That's verse of the day on YouVersion. If you don't have YouVersion on your Bible, on your phone, download it on your phone. You get a scripture popping up every day. You've got the Bible with you wherever you go, in your pocket with you, close to your heart. But they say you shouldn't keep your mobile in your pocket, so I'm not promoting that. Consecrate. And we come with our issues, and it feels like the dead of night. And it's at that moment that worship is awful. Do you know that worship can be awful? Oh, Lord, this is tough. Consecrate. They spent 16 days cleaning the temple. Every utensil they cleaned, every idol they got rid of. How painful. My mother gave that to the church. You shouldn't be getting rid of it. No, it's an idol. We're getting rid of it. Hezekiah's own father brought idolatry into the land. He went against family tradition. It's my tradition to sit on the left side of church. He went against family tradition. He got rid of idolatry. He went from religion to relationship. And he opened the doors of the temple, consecrated the temple. And we are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. And God is consecrating us. And when He deals with sin in our life, it can be painful. And we can be singing, good God, good grace, and the person in front of you is hands raised up and they're jumping and you feel like saying to them, please sit down, I'm aching because I am needing to deal with the sin right now. And we're in a place of being awful, but that's okay because God needs to move us from awful to awesome. Because once you've allowed Him to deal with that thing in your life, you step out of, Lord, this is tough, into this is victory. Lord, this is harsh, into this is healing. Lord, this is the night, into this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. He gives us a song in the night. Sometimes it can be awful because of our circumstances, but when we sing to Him, we go from awful to awesome. Sometimes it's because of sin in our lives. We're singing, good God, good grace, pure hearts, clean hands. And we realize, okay, my hand hasn't been exactly clean this week. My heart hasn't been pure. Oh, this is an awful moment. Lord, forgive me. We move on. We walk. We keep on walking. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley. We all go through valleys. We've got to walk. This aisle is blessed, we know it, but pretend it's a valley and I'm going through a valley. I need to keep walking. What we can do is we get distracted and we look and there's something there and it's going, ooh, and we look at it and we go, oh, I'm terrified. I can't carry on anymore. Oh, no, keep walking. And then you come here and you pause and something's going, oh, you're such a bad person. Ooh, you're never going to get over it. No, I'm going to keep walking. I'm not going to listen to the things in the valley. I'm not going to stand at a stinking swamp in the valley. I'm going to keep keep walking. Walk, 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 walk. Can we do that? That's a song in the night. That's a song in the night. We may be in a dark place, but we keep walking. We keep trusting. We keep having faith in the Lord. And in the New Testament, we find two guys, Paul and Silas, awesome guys. And we find the story, the account. It's not a story. It's a true account in Acts 16. And it says this. In Acts 16, in verse 25, it's the middle bit on the screen there. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, they weren't at a nice little home group, life group, and they're all in the lounge. You know, and it's a summer's evening, and they've opened the doors, and the breeze is coming in, and they're having some lovely, you know, Schweppes lemonade with ice to cool down, and, oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, no, they had been accused. They had driven out a demon out of a slave girl. She had a spirit. She was prophesying, but not of God. When you look at the Greek there for what she was doing, it actually means python. So she was being controlled by a demonic spirit. And her slave masters were making money out of her. And she was even saying to the people, listen to Paul and Silas. Now, if you didn't have discernment, you would have thought, well, she's a good person. She's prophesying. Great. She's even saying, listen to the gospel. But they knew it was a python. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. Big difference between the Holy Spirit and a python. And they cast the demon out of her. She was made whole. What did the slave people do? The slave owner took Paul and Silas to the magistrates. What did the magistrates do? Very well done. Thank you for helping society. You've cast a demon out. You've set a person free. Great. You're just what we need in town. No. What did they do? Look at verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. How about going out to do some work for the Lord? And they call you in. And they say, well done, the reward you're going to get, we're going to strip you, humiliate you, and beat you with rods. In other words, we're going to impart painful infliction on you so that you'll remember the pain so that you won't do it again. And that's what the devil does with pain. He wants us to remember the pain so that we don't praise again. I could be a rap star with that poetry going on today. Remember the pain so that you don't praise again. And that's what we do, don't we? What did they do? Strip them, beat them with rods after they had been severely flogged. It says enough, doesn't it? They were thrown into prison. And the jailer commanded the guard to guard them carefully. When he received the orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. The jailer, having been ordered to keep these prisoners secured, placed them in the innermost cell at the heart of the prison, more than likely a dungeon. There'd be no light at all at night and only a little during the day. There'd be almost no ventilation, no sanitary, and the stench in there would have been terrible. There would have been beaten backs, and in that environment, subject to infection. Their feet were fastened in stocks, which would add to the physical discomfort. Unable to shift positions, prisoners would grow more and more uncomfortable by the minute. It's difficult for us, sitting here on these lovely, comfortable pews, to imagine how difficult that was. But what did Paul and Silas do? In the midnight hour, when the pain was at the greatest, they sang. In fact, they sang so loudly that the other prisoners heard them. God gave them a song in the night. They didn't focus on the pain, they focused on Jesus. And we know there was an earthquake. Now we know that Philippi was used to earth tremors. But something of this seismic scale that opened the prison doors and set every prisoner free, not just Paul and Silas, was highly unusual. You see, praise activates miracles. We sing in this church, praise is the highway to the throne of God. Every mountain will fall. Every chain will break. We see revival coming. It's what praise does. It's a highway. It's a highway because we keep walking. We keep walking. We keep moving on this highway. We don't take a pit stop for a self-pity party. We don't take a pit stop to listen to the words of the world. We keep moving on God's highway. We keep praising Him no matter what happened. They were singing. What's their secret? They had a song in the night. They were in relationship. They weren't in religion. They were in relationship with Jesus. And friends, when you are in relationship with Jesus, we will have a song in the night. Because who will put it there? The Holy Spirit will put it there. Look at these few scriptures just to inspire you on that. I've got a few going up on the screen next. Psalm 43:4. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I will praise you, O God my God. Isn't it awesome? To the God of exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. Psalm 98:4-6. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Bring forth, break forth, and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and sounds of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King of Kings. That's what we need to do. When the enemy shouts you down, you lift up a shout to Jesus. Remember, God told Joshua, shout, for God has given us the city. Have you noticed in Psalm 98, those are loud instruments. A trumpet is loud. A horn is loud. I went to a school concert the other night. It was fantastic. Trumpets are loud. Don't let the loudness of the devil muffle the shout of joy that's in your spirit. Psalm 33:3. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. There's a skill involved. Peter didn't just walk up into the platform and start playing. Andrew and Sherry and the rest of the team didn't just walk up and start singing. There's skill involved. And the Lord is into us honing our skill. But more than skill is the shout of joy. Because actually, the shout is louder than any skill. Think of it. The shout will override the skill, but the skill means you put the work in. We're in the scripture. We meditate on scripture day and night. We fill ourselves with the word. We're in prayer. And then the shout will come. Psalm 42:4. These things I remember, I will pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. With the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude-keeping festival. Wow. Could you see a multitude walking through the streets, driving through the streets, getting out to church on the Sunday with a song of joy? Look at Psalm 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of joy. Psalm 81:1. Sing for joy to God our strength. God strengthens us. But when we sing, His strength kicks in because praise is the highway to the throne of God. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. Psalm 95:1. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Why does the psalmist mention Jacob? Is it just random? No. A father of the faith. It's worked for him, and it's going to work through generation after generation after generation after generation. There's no new message. It's the same message. Let's sing for joy. They did this in Hezekiah's time. They reopened the temple. And in 2 Chronicles 29:30, we see after the consecration, look what happened. Look at the end bit. So they sang praises with gladness and bowed in worship. There's a gladness. I don't know about you. When my voice is glad, somehow it goes louder. And they bowed in worship. There's an action involved in worship. 2 Chronicles 29:36. Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for His people because He had done it so quickly. Remember, the timing's up to God for in revival, but the turning's up to us. The end times are, yeah, He's got to do it quickly. That's up to us. 2 Chronicles 30:21. that it writes, who were present in Jerusalem, celebrated the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days with great rejoicing. 2 Chronicles 30:23, celebrated joyfully. Actually, for 7 more days. They said, this isn't enough. We're going to carry on for 7 more days joyfully. Imagine that. Phone your boss, you're not going to work tomorrow. The pastor said, we're going on for 7 more days. Okay. I've got a chicken in the oven. 2 Chronicles 30:25. There was great joy in Jerusalem. When there's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in our city. We affect the city. It's contagious. It's infectious. A song in the night. I'm going to come into a land. We know that suddenly there was an earthquake. The door sprang open. Even the prisoners were so frightened because they knew this was not ordinary. The jailkeeper wanted to kill himself, but no one had escaped. They would have made an example and brutally and torturously done something terrible to this jailkeeper. But the song in the night, the jailkeeper got saved. The jailkeeper gave his life to the Lord because they had a song in the night. Our song in the night affects others. Didn't only affect the jailkeeper, affected the whole family. And from there, Paul and Silas moved off, but they'd started a church. Later, Philippians would have been written to this church that was started because they had a song in the night. When you have a song in the night, there's no telling what God can start. He started a church because they had a song in the night. They had moved from the awful pain of being beaten with stocks to be beaten with rods and locked up in stocks, from the awful to the awesome. And the hand of God moved and there was an earthquake. The jailer got saved, his whole family, and a church was started because there was a song in the night. Folks, can you have a song in the night? Can you have a song in the night? At first, it may go against all odds. We all go through pain and it's good to cry and weep and mourn. But there's a time that we get up and we've got to wash our face. We've got to wash our hair. We've got to make ourselves look good. We've got to spray some perfume on and say, I'm going to have more than Gucci perfume on today or whatever you wear. I'm going to have the fragrance of Christ. I'm going to have a song in the night. During the week, Stacy had a song in the night and she shared this with me on Thursday. When I knew I was going to be preaching on a song in the night. And you went through a night time. But God put a song on your heart. In our conclusion today, before I pray for the congregation, I'd love for you to share that. And I had pre-warned you. So there we go. Welcome, Stacey.
Oh, yeah. My song in the night, actually, before I became a Christian, I had a lot of fear around money. I never used to have enough of it. I never thought I had enough of it. So when fear used to grip me with money, like it was like a big like, oh my goodness, I'm not going to like be able to pay my bills. I'm not going to have things for my kids. And it would just be an awful thing. It was like darkness trying to grip me. Like fear's horrible, isn't it? So at the start of the week, Monday, the first bit of fear that I had come upon me was I came downstairs into my living room and there was 2 magpies inside my house. They'd come down my chimney and I don't really like birds very much. And I was like, oh, and I was really afraid because it was such a big thing for me to have to get. I live with my son who was asleep in bed, he's 15. And like, there was fear that had come, but I was like, come on, Stace, you can do this. So I managed to get the magpies out and there was 2 magpies, 1 for sorrow and 2 for joy. And that's all I kept thinking in my head, 1 for sorrow, 2 for joy. And I had decided in that moment that I was going to praise God today. I'd had obviously a bit of fear in my heart that tried to come upon me, but I was like, no, I'm going to choose the joy today. So I continued on getting ready for work and stuff. And then I thought to myself, I'm just going to make a transaction. And so I rung up HSBC. And you know when you ring up and they sort of like tell you what you have in your account? Well, the automated service told me that I was £3,200 minus. I'd only just been paid. So I was like, oh my goodness, like what's happened? But like in that moment, like I spoke to the lady on the phone and stuff, and but there was a moment just like Paul and Silas where, do you know what, that could have just gripped my whole morning. It could have, like it was something, it was like a horrible nightmare waiting to sort of like come upon me. It could have gripped me. I could have had that fear come upon me. So anyway, I spoke to somebody and they said, look, we haven't sorted it out yet, but what we're going to do is leave it with us. And I had to trust my God, the God who loves me, Jesus, that, you know, he was going to sort it out. So I got ready for work. I work in a preschool down the bottom of the road here, and the car park gets really busy. So, you know, I continue to choose joy. I knew the car park was going to be busy. So what I did was I parked around the back of some flats, and, you know, I wanted to sing to Jesus. It was still knocking, the fear. It was still saying in the back of my mind, oh, what are you going to do? You know, how are you going to... There were standing orders coming out. It was still going over in my mind, but I made a purpose decision. I was like, no, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to choose the joy. I'm going to choose Jesus. I know he's good. So I parked around the back of these garages and I put some worship music on. I do that sometimes. And I was praising God and the music was up loud, and I always think that I'm always alone. But all of a sudden, this is like really like amazing. There was like this head that I saw in my rearview mirror come around the back of like my car, and I thought, oh no, first of all, I thought I'm making a lot of noise. That's what I thought, first of all. And then something inside me just rose up. It was like, I know Jesus, and I've got to go and tell these people that I know Jesus. So I walked around the corner and I went, and there was another lady that was walking down the alley as well to this man. It was a guy that popped his head around the corner. And I went, excuse me. I went, did you just hear the music playing? He was like, yeah. And I was like, well, I was just praising God. I'm a Christian and a follower of Jesus. And, you know, I really want to share Jesus with you today. So we'd been on this evangelizing course at the weekend. They gave us like this script to share the Lord with people. So I said, oh, would you mind, like, if, you know, I said to them, God's got an amazing plan for your life. He really loves you. I said, would you mind if I prayed for you? His name was Mark. And then the lady that came up also, she came over and she was like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? I was like, oh, hi, I'm Stacey. I was just telling Mark, and they were together. Her name was Teresa, about Jesus. And actually, in that moment, when I could have had so much fear grip me and gone into work and really meditated on horrible things, I shared the gospel with Mark and Teresa. And they both, well, actually, Mark had questions, but that's okay to have questions. We can have questions with the Lord, it's okay. But Teresa gave her life to the Lord, and instantly the joy hit her. She was so happy. She was like, oh my goodness. We were like hugging in the back around these flats. It was the most amazing thing, and it brought so much joy. And I was like, Lord, those magpies were a sign this morning. One for sorrow, two for joy. We can always choose Jesus, and we should be sharing him. You know, that joy lives in our hearts. And in that moment, I chose. I was like, yes, Lord, I'm going to worship you. I love you. You're my joy. And that joy is contagious. It surprised me. So I want to encourage you today, like, you know, choose Jesus. There's joy living in each of your hearts. Go out and tell someone about Jesus. He's amazing. Yeah. Bless you.
Bless you, Stacey. Come and show some encouragement this morning. He gives us a song in the night. Stacey had that song in her night situation. Sang praises to the Lord. Others heard. Told you it's contagious. Where are you this morning? What are you going through? The Lord loves you. The Lord knows the beginning from the end. And he knows where you're stuck and struggling. But there's something we can do. We can have a song to Jesus from the depths of our heart. Even it comes out in a, I know what it's like to weep so much. And you try and sing a song. And it comes out, you're squealy at first, and it's embarrassing. But you just press through and say, I don't care what I sound like. I don't care how this hurts, but I'm going to sing. My Jesus, my Savior. Lord, there's none like you. All of my days, I'll sing your praise. I will shout to the Lord. And faith begins to build. And your voice begins to strengthen. And your trembling knees can stand up. And you can get walking. And you know that even though you're going through a valley, you can fear no evil, because his love and his goodness and his loving kindness and his mercy will follow you all the days of my life. And there's no good thing that he will uphold from those who walk uprightly in him. Let's pray together this morning. I'm going to pray two prayers this morning. First of all, for Christians. Secondly, for those who have drifted away from the Lord and we need to come home to the Lord. But first, for those who know Jesus. This message was just for you. You know it. And He can give you a song in the night. You've got to choose that. Choose to have a song in the night. Choose Jesus. Choose that sweet surrender. Choose to move from that moment of awfulness into the awesomeness of God's presence. Introduce your awful situation to the awesome presence of the Almighty God. That's you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you from where I'm at. But if that is you, could you slip up your hand and say, Kevin, I need to be singing a song in the night to the Lord. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Hands going up all over the show. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Nothing to be ashamed of. This is victory. As you put your hand up, that's victory. God bless you. You can put your hands down now. Anybody else? God bless you. This is victory. This is not admitting defeat, the Lord would have you know. This is entering the victory. As your hand goes up into the air, prophetically, you can believe it's a sign of breakthrough. When Moses' hands were uplifted, the Israelites had victory. A song in the night. A song in the night. Lord, you know every night situation here. You know every night story. You know the pain, the worry, the anguish, the remorse, the guilt, the brokenness. The hopelessness. The depths of despair. Feelings and thoughts that actually have no dictionary definition because they're so severe. And in the midst of that, you give a song in the night. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would now be released in a powerful and in a superabundant and a supernatural way into every heart and life that responded, yeah, today. Holy Spirit, would you flood these precious individuals with your power and with your peace? And would you give a song in the night? And in a moment, I'm going to encourage us all just to start singing. And let's do that, yeah, in the congregation. We're going to just start singing. Let that build up on the inside of you. Maybe you've got to tell yourself, like David said, I will bless the Lord. Sometimes we've got to speak to ourselves and say, Kevin, I will. I will. This is not a feeling. This is not an emotion. This is an act of the will. I will praise the Lord. I will bless Him. So I pray for your breakthrough and for your release and for your victory and your perfect plan and destiny in every life here in Jesus' name. Folks, still while every eye is closed and head is bowed, maybe you've drifted away from the Lord or you've never given your life to Him. Three things I want to say to you very briefly. A, admit that you need Jesus. B, believe that He died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead to forgive you of your sin, to prepare a place in heaven for you, and to set you on your purpose for life here on this earth. And thirdly, confess Christ. Christ as Savior, Christ as Lord, Christ as best friend. If that is you, pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I admit I need you. Pray that in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I admit I need you. I'm a sinner. Please save me. I believe you died on the cross and rose again from the dead to save me. Today I confess Christ. I receive him as my Lord and Savior and personal best friend from now and all the way through into eternity forevermore. In Jesus' name. Folks, still with every eye closed and head is bowed, if you prayed that prayer, either for the first time or as a recommitment, I'm not going to embarrass you. Just slip your hand up and take it down real quick. I just want to keep you in my prayers during the week. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Lord, you've seen every hand that's gone up, every heart that's open to you. Seal their lives with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you didn't pray this prayer this week. You can still pray it right now. We can come back next week, but don't put it off. We at this church give people an opportunity every Sunday service to receive the Lord. You know you can bring your friends, your family, your world who needs Jesus, because we will give them the opportunity to make the most important decision of their lives here at BHBC. Are you ready to sing a song? A song in the night or a song in your joy, wherever you're at, let's sing a song to the Lord.